From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, it's The Animal House, connecting you with everything that concerns the animal world. I'm Sam Litzinger. Later, we learn how citizen scientists are helping to solve a wildlife mystery. A filmmaker discusses her new documentary about the complex lives of wild horses. And Dr. Gary Weitzman of the San Diego Humane Society answers your questions about pets and wildlife. First, an iconic animal species of the American West is at the center of a decades-old debate that's causing a multi-million dollar headache for federal officials. The problem has left one government agency so desperate for a solution that it's now reaching out to the general public for help. Washington Post reporter Lenny Bernstein's been covering this story, and he joins us now with more details. Glad to have you back with us in the Animal House.
Glad to be here.
So in 1971, the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971 was passed, and that was to address a specific problem, which is that these wild horses were being slaughtered, poisoned, and they were in real trouble. Now they're in real trouble for a different reason. What's going on?
There's too many of them now. The law in 71 required the Bureau of Land Management to manage the horses, which were disappearing because they were conflicting with cattle and ranchers. So as part of that management effort, they went out, they saw how many they had, they saw how many horses the range could support, and they began a program to try to keep them on the range, but not too many of them.
Do we know how many are out there now? Any idea?
They estimate that there are 40,000 wild horses on the range in over 31 million acres. So the range, they say, can support 26,000. Well, they have 40,000. What do you do with the 14,000? Well, what they have been doing is they've been rounding them up and sending them out to pastures, paying money to people in other parts of the nation to take on these horses. Well, they're running out of spots for them in private pastures that farmers have in, say, Kansas and Oklahoma, but they still have too many on the range, according to BLM. Now, horse activists would vehemently argue that that's not true, but the BLM feels we still have 14,000 we've got to do something with, and we don't really know what to do.
How about contraception?
They've tried contraception. They've tried fertility control, as they call it, but the contraceptive only lasts 1 year.
Okay, so contraception for the moment isn't really a solution. We have heard, and I'm sure you have covered this too in the past, the idea of horse slaughter. Is that really under consideration by anybody?
Can't be done in this country. Over the last, since 2007, Congress has refused to authorize the money necessary to have the inspectors that you would have to have if you were going to slaughter in this country. And the BLM will not knowingly sell horses to someone who's going to, say, take them to Mexico to be slaughtered there. So that's out of the question.
Okay, so the Bureau of Land Management people have decided that they're going to ask the public for help.
Correct. Now, it's not like they're going to ask you and me, Sam. They're going to ask vets. They're going to ask contraceptive manufacturers, drug companies. I mean, anybody can propose something.
And finally, based on your reporting, is there a real need for this? Because presumably something has to be done here, yes?
If you accept the government's premise that there are too many horses on the range right now for the food and water to support, and remember, there's a pretty terrible drought out there, then yes, there are too many horses on the range. There were many, many people who have written me since that story ran and said, that's not true. There's plenty of room for the horses. One thing that we discussed is, well, if you leave them on the range, won't nature just take care of this? Because, you know, the ones that can't find food and water will die. It's unfortunate, but that's sort of how nature operates. Unfortunately, the 1971 law doesn't allow them to do that because they are required to manage the horses.
Wow. So they're really kind of stuck here.
They're in a bad spot.
Washington Post reporter Lenny Bernstein, thank you very much for being with us in the Animal House again.
Thanks for having me.
Over the last few years, there has been an increase in removals of wild horses. And I thought, boy, somebody needs to be their champion. And by golly, I guess I'll do it.
When their numbers get out of control, then it's hard on everybody, and most hard on the land. Our land is a resource. That's our lifeline. If we run out of stuff to feed our cows with, we're done.
The story of wild horses in the American West is the focal point for a complex mix of conservation and controversy. In fact, there are some who suggest that no other issue, aside from maybe the Vietnam War, has generated such an outpouring of public response. Several years ago, filmmaker Sylvia Johnson set out with a skeleton crew and a shoestring budget to document the plight of free-roaming horses, and the end result is her new documentary, Roaming Wild. Sylvia joins us now. Are there lots of wild horses out there in the West now?
There are. I had no idea when I first started working on this project that wild horses even still existed. But there are quite a few. They're in 10 western states all across the West. Their numbers have changed significantly over time. Some people think they're going extinct. Some people think they're overpopulating, and there's a large gray area in between. I found that everyone I talked to had very different opinions, and getting a clear number was one of the most difficult things.
Why is this at all controversial? Who doesn't like wild horses?
Wild horses capture people's imagination. A lot of people love them. People who have other interests on public lands find that they get in the way. Some of those interests can be anything from oil and gas development to solar energy to other recreational uses to cattle ranchers. One of the biggest things that the news often puts out as the divide is the cattle ranching and the wild horses are in contention with each other. This is true, but I think a lot of it actually comes down to the fact that ranching and wild horses are some of the last things that are under attack in the West, in the sense that development is pushing a lot of different things out, and those are two kind of easy targets, and so they end up fighting each other. One of the things that I really wanted to tell was the different points of view, because what I realized the more I talked to people was that everybody had a valid point. They had reasons why they believe the things that they do and why they stood on the side that they did. And ultimately, I feel like solutions are only really going to be found with people coming together and working, understanding where the other person stands, and then figuring out how to move forward. But there certainly are solutions out there that are working. One of the characters that we profile in the film is this man called Dan Elkins. He's a modern-day mountain man. And he has developed a totally different way of capturing wild horses that's much more humane than using the helicopters.
My way's slower. I don't know, them helicopter pilots probably don't get hurt as much as I do. I don't chase anything. That's the main thing. The horses come to me by themselves. They go in there by themselves. I'm not forcing them to do anything they really don't want to do. The only problem with the helicopters, they can gather a lot more horses than I can right now.
And he also uses fertility control. It's called PZP to manage herd populations. And there's been a lot of research and science done on this. It exists, but it hasn't been largely implemented by the BLM. But beyond that, I think the key is that there's no one silver bullet. The issue is a big mess right now, and it's going to take multifaceted approach and solution. So things like private sanctuary land, things like incorporating fertility control, all play into finding a bigger solution.
Is there one horse that remains with you?
Absolutely. The horse called Magic, who is featured in the film.
This horse, Magic, who's at the killer feedlot in Fallon, Nevada, waiting to be shipped to slaughter. I wonder what's going to happen if I crawl in there. Let me see. Hi, buddy. Come here. I want you to look at me. There you go. Hi. Easy. You're all right. Come here. Oh, you're all right. Come here. You're all right. Come on, buddy. Good boy. Thank you. Now we're just trying to figure out who he is and what his potential will be. I'm thinking he's going to be a nice boy, and we could probably find him a good home.
He was bought out of an auction where killer buyers go to buy horses to send them to Mexico and Canada, where they get processed for slaughter and then sent to Europe or Japan for human consumption. So he was on his way potentially there and was rescued and brought out. And we tell the story of his rescue and of the woman, Jill Starr, who becomes very attached to him in the film.
Sylvia Johnson's director of the new documentary, Roaming Wild. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
In a few moments, Dr. Katie Nelson will join us with answers to your questions about pets and wildlife. First, though, let's meet our animal of the week. This marine species plays role reversal, where the male actually carries and incubates as many as 2,500 eggs. Can you guess the name of this bony fish? We'll have the answer at the end of today's program. Next week in the Animal House.
I would ride my quarter horse. He rode the beautiful Tennessee walking horse. He's had a couple of them. And we would ride them on the grounds of Graceland. And that was just a pure love of Elvis's. Now, the stigma of soaring has cost this breed so much of its popularity. We definitely need to end Tennessee's reputation for tolerating this cruelty to animals.
For Priscilla Presley, animal rescue is a priority. And she tells us why next week in the Animal House.
Lord.